It's good to see you this evening. We do appreciate your attendance and your desire for to worship God. We encourage you to open up your Bibles and follow along, and I will reiterate what Stan has already said. If you have any questions, please ask. If you have any comments, please make them. We'll sit down and we'll take a look at God's Word together and see what things are so, and striving for the proper application in all things. If you will, turn in your Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 12. 1 Kings chapter 12. And we'll take a look. Yeah, that wasn't supposed to show up. 1 Kings chapter 12 and verse 25. We'll take a look at King Jeroboam. 1 Kings 12 and starting in verse 25. The historian writes, "Then Jeroboam built Shechem in the mountains of Ephraim and dwelt there. And he went out from there and built Penuel. And Jeroboam said in his heart, 'Now the kingdom may return to the house of David. If these people go up to offer sacrifices in the house of the Lord at Jerusalem, then the heart of this people will turn back to their Lord, Rehoboam, king of Judah, and they will kill me and go back to Rehoboam, king of Judah.' Therefore the king asked advice, made two calves of gold, and said to the people, 'It is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Here are your gods, O Israel, which brought you up out of the land of Egypt.' And he set up one in Bethel, and the other he put in Dan. Now this thing became a sin, for the people went to worship before the one as far as Dan. He made shrines on the high places, and made priests from every class of people who were not of the sons of Levi. Jeroboam ordained a feast on the 15th day of the 8th month, like the feast that was in Judah, and offered sacrifices on the altar. So he did at Bethel, sacrificing to the calves that he made. And at Bethel he installed the priests of the high places, which he had made. So he made offerings on the altar, which he had made at Bethel on the 15th day of the 8th month, in the month which he devised in his own heart, and he ordained a feast for the children of Israel, and offered sacrifices on the altar and burnt incense." Jeroboam has always been used as an example for us in many lessons. His actions truly give us much to think about and consider, and his legacy is a dire one of apostasy and destruction, as he led the 10 northern tribes off into destruction time, as king after king followed his example. He's a demonstration of both the cons that we're going to look at tonight, conviction and convenience. And then we need to look at ourselves. As we're looking at these two cons, conviction and convenience, we must look at ourselves and see if we are ones of conviction or ones of convenience as we seek to serve God, as we seek to be acceptable to God according to His pattern. He had a great concern, Jeroboam did, for the travel hardships upon the people. He had this great concern about their travel hardships that led him to set up at Dan and at Bethel worship sites. He made these two golden calves, and he set them up so the people would not have to have these long ways that they had to travel all the way to Jerusalem. If they were in the north of Israel, they wouldn't have to travel all the way down to Jerusalem. They could just go to Dan. If they were down in the south, they wouldn't have to climb that big old high mountain that Jerusalem was on. They could just go over to Bethel. It would be convenient for them. It would be more convenient for them if he established these worship sites, and that's exactly what he did. Out of convenience for the people, he established places for them to worship. He devised these things, as the historian writes, he devised these things out of his own heart, out of his own mind, and it was for the convenience of the people. We love convenience, don't we? It's convenient to have conveniences. It's nice to have the convenience store right down the street, where if we're out of milk or whatever, we can run just right around the corner. Sometimes maybe even walk, instead of having to drive all the way to the grocery store. Oh my. I have to get in the car and actually drive 3 blocks, 4 blocks, when maybe the convenience store is just right around the corner. We can look at these conveniences, and we can see that without conviction, the mind of man can run amok. And that's exactly what Jeroboam's mind did. It ran amok. He devised in his own mind the 15th day of the 8th month instead of the 15th day of the 7th month as God had prescribed. He devised in his own mind to set up these idols at Dan and Bethel. And he devised in his own mind to make priests of every class of people, to offer sacrifices and incense on days that he devised, he thought up. And with no conviction for God's word, we can do anything. We can make up our own mind. We can decide what's convenient for us, what's inconvenient for us. We can make all of these things up, and we can be just like Jeroboam. Do we have the conviction of God's word, or are we looking for what is convenient for us as we seek to try to serve God? Convenience has led to many errors, and each of these errors take us further and further and further and further away from God. It's step after step after step, and out of our convenience, we walk away from God. Worldly convenience is, the world says, join the church of your choice. Join the church of your choice. Find a good Bible-based church is what we hear all the time. Things like that. And thus we have the denominational mess that we have that's presented to us today. Do you realize that there's only one church? There are many different religious organizations, religious bodies. I'm not going to discount their religious nature, but they're not a church. There is only one church. So we must seek out the church that Jesus purchased with his own blood, the church that Jesus promised he would build. We must seek out that church and strive to understand how we might be added to that church, not join that church. We are added to the body of Jesus Christ. The world doesn't understand. Man justifies by faith only because it's convenient. Just believe. If you'll believe in Jesus Christ right now, if you'll believe in Jesus Christ, accept Jesus into your heart, your sins will be forgiven. Did you feel it? Did you feel it? Your sins are forgiven. Now, we want you to be obedient to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Well, that's not in the gospel of Jesus Christ. But it's more convenient to preach and teach that, than it is to preach and teach the truth of the gospel. Various methods of baptism. Oh, we'll sprinkle you. We'll pour a little water on you. You don't really need to be baptized. We'll make it as convenient for you as we possibly can. And what God has established is immersion. That's what baptism means. It means immersion. We need to understand what happens at the point of baptism. We need to be able to go to Romans chapter 6 and point out and show what happens at the point of baptism. How the old man dies and the new man rises, a new creation in God's sight. Use of musical instruments. It's more convenient to use musical instruments, people say. It sounds better. Have you heard us sing? Who? Boy, you know, a good guitar, a good organ would cover up the sound of our voice. It's more convenient. Sounds better. Again, what does the Bible say? Partaking of the Lord's Supper, occasionally or daily. There are religious groups out there that have their special Lord's Supper service once a quarter. So you tell me that you're only remembering the Lord's death as He prescribed once every three or four months? Is that what you're telling me? Then you have others who partake of the Lord's Supper daily, and it becomes not a thoughtful occasion as we consider the Lord's death, but it just seems to be something out of habit. There's that building. I better go in there and take the Lord's Supper real quick. Just a minute, I'll be right back. Go in there, light a candle. Okay. Now I can go back here and I can carry on with my life. That's what it seems like. Again, we don't discount. We cannot discount their religious nature. They're striving to be religious, but there's no direction. And it seems a matter of convenience. Meals in the fellowship halls. Well, wouldn't it be more? We had the congregation here had a potluck this afternoon. The potluck was not up at the building. It was outside of the building, and the members brought a dish, a covered dish of whatever, and
or maybe they went out and bought something, it doesn't matter, and there was a nice potluck, had a good meal. But wouldn't it be more convenient if we just had a building set off to the side here, and we wouldn't have to go anywhere? We could bring the stuff right into the building, and we could have a kitchen all set up. Wouldn't it be more convenient to have it that way? You know what? It would be more convenient. I'll give it to you. I'll give it. It'll be more convenient. It sure would. But would it be scriptural? Is that what God has prescribed? Convenience is one of those things that we can decide just about anything is more convenient. But we must go back and look at God's Word. Clothing drives, food drives, all these kind of different drives that religious bodies have today. Oh, they're nice and convenient. You know what? It'll really spread the name out there. Westside Church of Christ clothing drive. Clothes for the poor. Clothes for the needy. Jesus is going to clothe you. All these things are said. Wouldn't it be convenient if we could get it all in one place and then those who need could all come? It'd be convenient. Takes away the responsibility from the individual. Takes away the individual responsibility that we have to serve God according to the pattern. Convenience is step by step, choice by choice, decision by decision, lead us further and further away from God. And so we have to make a decision. Are we going to stand with conviction, or are we going to succumb to convenience? All of these summed up, the wonderful thing about convenience is that it doesn't take any authority. It just takes an idea. Jeroboam devised it in his heart that these things would be good. And all it takes is an idea. We don't need any authority to do this. We'll just do it because it's just so convenient. It feels like the right thing to do. I think it would be so good. We sit there with the I thinks and the I feels. Instead of turning to God's Word and saying, what does God say about it? What would God have us do? What is convenient according to the Scripture? My conviction is going to be according to God's Word. Convenience makes it possible to appeal to the majority on many different levels, making the majority feel better about themselves. Clothing drives and food drives. Takes away the individual responsibility, but don't we all feel better when we bring it all into the church building, we bring it all up here, and then the church can handle that. Who's the church? Well, that's the elders and the deacons and the preacher. They'll take care of it. Well, where's the individual responsibility? The individual Christian's responsibility to help and aid those who need help. The church has responsibility only to saints. The individual Christian has responsibility to saints and those who are outside. Help as we have the opportunity. Help as we have the ability. But see, convenience makes everybody feel better. Again, the great thing about convenience is that it's so convenient. I really don't have to do anything because I know PA is going to take care of it. PA will take care of it. Stan will take care of it. Jerry, yeah, we've got some good elders. They'll handle things. I'll just get in the way. So I'll just let them do it. It'll be more convenient for me if I let them do it. I'll let the deacons handle it. They've all got wives. They can handle it. So we've got to ask ourselves, is it convenient or is it conviction? Convenience doesn't require any real investment. We don't really have to give anything of ourselves. We're not talking about investing money. We're talking about investing the time that it takes. But it's not convenient for me to invest my time. I'm so busy. You know, you don't understand how busy I am. Busy individual. Got things to do, places to go. Is it going to be convenience or is it going to be conviction? In Genesis chapter 4 and verse 3, we read of Cain and Abel. Genesis chapter 4 and verse 3, in the process of time it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord and also brought an offering. And Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat.
And the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. We read over in Hebrews that Abel offered by faith. Abel heard what God wanted, and that's what Abel offered. It seems that Cain offered out of convenience. Well, this is what I've got. This is what's at hand. This is what I'm going to offer. Surely it will be acceptable. But out of his convenience, it was not acceptable to God. Was Cain's sacrifice with conviction, or was it with convenience? Abel's was with conviction. As he heard what God proclaimed, and he was obedient to that. In Leviticus chapter 10 and verse 1, we read of Nadab and Abihu. In Leviticus chapter 10 and verse 1, we read, as they approached the Lord, Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, each took his censer and put fire in it, put incense on it, and offered profane fire before the Lord, which he had not commanded them. The command was to take the fire from the altar. That was the command. And they offered a profane fire before the Lord. They were consumed. Fire went out from the Lord and consumed them. Because what they offered was not acceptable to God. Was their offering out of convenience or out of conviction? You see, convenience allows us to use anything that we deem is necessary. We think it's good. We think it's right. It's more convenient for me to use this than that. Because this is near at hand. That I may have to invest a little time, a little energy, a little effort to go get that when I've got this at hand. Convenience allows for whatever's nearby. It makes it easy on us. And so out of our human mind, out of our fleshly ideas, our fleshly thoughts, convenience again is convenient. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 17, it seems that this is a favorite phrase of those in the denominational world. As they make up and do all kinds of things in the name of Jesus Christ, it seems that they do something along this line. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to do this. Do we have authority? Well, I don't know if we really have authority to do this, but what we're going to do, we're going to do this, and we're going to say, bam, it's in the name of Jesus. And that'll make it right. We're doing it in the name of Jesus. And everything's going to be good. And that's what the denominational world does. As long as you slap Jesus on it, then it's got to be good because we're doing it for Jesus. We're doing it for a righteous cause, a righteous reason. We have Jesus behind it. We have His name on it. Well, over in Matthew chapter 7, Jesus speaks of this very, very thing. And people don't read this. People don't pay attention. Again, this is a lack of knowledge of the Scriptures. People don't read and pay attention. We must read the Scriptures and pay attention to what is said. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Here we go. We're going to slap the name of Jesus on it. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied? How? In your name. Cast out demons? How? In your name. Done many wonders? How? In your name. Slap Jesus on it. And Jesus says, of that day, of that time, and then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. You see, they didn't have the authority to slap Jesus' name on it. It wasn't enough to just say, we're doing it in the name of Jesus. We must do the will of the Father. And how do we find out what the will of the Father is? We pick up the only thing that He has left us, and we read it, we study it, we strive for an application, and we're convicted about the Word of God. We're going to slap the name of Jesus on it, but it's going to be with the authority of Jesus. Everything we do must be by the authority of Jesus. In our worship service, everything we do. If you're visiting with us this evening and you have a question about why we do or why we don't do something, why the congregation here does or does not do something, ask after services.
we can go to God's Word and we can strive to understand the authority. And we can understand the authority which comes from God. That's conviction. And everything we do by conviction is going to have the authority which comes from God. Sometimes we can deem the right thing as inconvenient. Get out your Bibles. We're going to read every single scripture. There's a few here. Get out your Bibles and follow along. Acts chapter 24 and verse 25. Acts chapter 24 and verse 25. Paul is talking to Felix after some days when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, who was Jewish. He sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. Now Paul reasoned about righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come. Felix was afraid and answered, "Go away for now. When I have a convenient time, I will call for you." It wasn't convenient for Felix to be obedient to the gospel of Jesus Christ. What did Paul reason with him? Paul reasoned with him righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come. He reasoned with him the things concerning the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Felix determined that it was inconvenient for him to hear these things. Felix determined that it was inconvenient for him to be obedient to these things. It's not the right time. When is the time to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ? If you know and understand that Jesus died on the cross for your sins, if you have an understanding of the kingdom that He established at His death on the cross, now is the time for you to be baptized into Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Now is the time that you are held in account. You know and understand that. You know and understand the difference between right and wrong, left and right, up and down. Now is the time for you to be obedient. Now is the convenient time. Acts chapter 26 and verse 28. Acts 26 and verse 28, Paul is before Agrippa. Agrippa said to Paul, "You almost persuaded me to become a Christian." Almost persuaded? Well, it's not convenient for me right now. I hear what you're saying. I have an understanding of what you're saying. But it's just not convenient. Now is the time. If you're here this evening, outside of the body of Jesus Christ, now is the time to be baptized into Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Now is the time to be baptized into Jesus Christ. At that point, you're added to the church. You're added to the body of the saved. You're translated into the kingdom of the Son of His love. Now is the time. Now is when it's convenient. In John chapter 12, in verse 42... John chapter 12 and verse 42, we read of the rulers, some of the rulers among the Jews. "Nevertheless, even among the rulers, many believed in Him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess, lest they should be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God." You know, it would have been too inconvenient for the rulers to confess Jesus. We like our position. We like our power. We like our authority. It's not convenient for us to confess Jesus. Maybe we will at another point, at another time, but it's not convenient for us right now. We may not get another time to confess Jesus. We may not have another opportunity to be obedient to the gospel of Jesus Christ. When is the convenient time? Now is the convenient time. John chapter 9 and verse 20. John chapter 9 and verse 20. As the man who was born blind, Jesus has healed him. And now the Pharisees, they want to excommunicate this man, so to speak. And they're speaking to his parents, and his parents answered them in verse 20. "We know that this is our son, that he was born blind. But by what means he now sees, we do not know. Or who opened his eyes, we do not know. He is of age, ask him. He will speak for himself." His parents said these things because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had agreed already, if anyone confessed that he was the Christ, he would be put out of the synagogue. Therefore, his parents said, "He is of age, ask him." It's not convenient for them to stand up. It's not convenient for them to have any type of conviction. We need to have the conviction, the courage to stand up.
When we're put under pressure, when we're put on the spot, so to speak, we need to have the courage to stand up and speak the things of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We have opportunity all the time to preach and teach the gospel of Jesus Christ, but we deem, well, it's not convenient. It's not the right time. I was at work and I really couldn't say anything. You know what? Yeah, you can say something. You don't have to go into a full-blown Bible lesson. But there are verses, there are words, there are manners of teaching that you can introduce even in the workplace without going into a full gospel lesson, a full Bible lesson concerning whatever instance was happening at that time. You can bring it up in a way that's not threatening and might cause someone to stop and think and consider. You can do that. You surely can. Clay's school down in Toler. The kids at school talk about Bible things. They have great discussions about Bible things. I'm just astounded that the kids are talking about this. And there's not one principal, or the principal, there's not one teacher who stops any of these kids. They've asked the teacher, can we go in your classroom at lunchtime? We want to talk about some things. About some Bible things. And the teacher says, sure, go ahead. And the group will get together. You know what? If our kids can do this, if my son can stand up and do this, surely we as adults can do it. Surely we can have some conviction. Surely we can stand up for Jesus Christ. Can't we? What do you think? Conviction, on the other hand, is necessary in order to do what is right. It requires something of us. It takes strength and courage to stand for the truth. It truly does. We need to be able to say something is right when it's right and wrong when it's wrong. When someone comes up and talks about the homosexual agenda, is it right or is it wrong? When someone talks about abortion, is it right or is it wrong? Marriage, divorce, remarriage, what does the Bible say about that? Musical instruments, what does the Bible say about that? Fellowship halls, what does the Bible say about that? We need to have the conviction to stand up. It takes a backbone. We can't be a Millie. We can't be a waffle. We have to stand up. It's funny how, as parents, we can tell our kids what to do, and we can have conviction about it, but we lose that conviction when we're talking to other adults. We don't have to get in their face. I'm not saying that. What I am saying is that if we can have conviction with our kids, we can have an adult conversation with another adult, can we not? Do we know how to converse with another adult? We can do this. We can stand with conviction. We can have the courage and the strength that is required. Why? If we have the truth. Do we have the truth? Are we striving for the truth? If we're not, I thank you for the day. I thank you for yesterday. Let's just go home. Not even bother with the rest of the week. If we don't have the truth, let's not even bother. But if we have the truth, let's stand up and act like we do. Jeroboam lacked the conviction necessary to follow God's commands. God told Jeroboam that I will set you up. I will establish you if you will just follow me. Paraphrasing. I'll establish you. I'll set you up. God gave Jeroboam the 10 northern tribes. And yet Jeroboam did not have the conviction necessary to follow God's commands. Hebrews 11 and verse 4. Abel offered a more perfect sacrifice, a more acceptable sacrifice, because he heard God's commands. Conviction only comes by faith. That's the only way conviction comes. Genesis chapter 5, verses 21 through 24. Enoch's conviction was not wavering, and God took him. Enoch walked on this earth 365 years. After 65 years, it says he began to have sons, and then he walked with God for 300 more years, and then 365 years, God took him. How old is the oldest person in this congregation? Don't have to shout out. We'll just round it around to 65. 80 years old. 85 years old. You live to be 90 years old. That's a ripe old age. At what point were you baptized? Maybe 14? 15? Let's just say 15. From 15 to 90. 75 years, God would have you be faithful. 75 measly, tiny, little years. You know how fast that goes by? I'll tell you how fast it... I'll give you an idea of how fast it goes by. You know what? It was only just a few days ago. Maybe a week or so ago. Maybe a month. Okay, I'll give it a month that Clay was born. I can remember when he was born. I was there helping with the delivery because the doctor wasn't there, and so me and the head nurse were delivering Clay. And he came out, great little baby boy. Yay. The nurse put him under the warmer, and the first thing I did was I walked over there, and she had him all bundled up, and I unbundled him. And I counted his fingers. 10 fingers. Counted his toes. 10 toes. Got 10 fingers, 10 toes. Yay! I was so excited. And that was not but yesterday. And next week he'll be 15 years old, wanting to drive. It goes by so quick. How fast has your life gone by? I'm 49 years old. Gone by like that. Those of you who are older than me, how fast has your life gone by? We may walk with God, we may walk with God maybe 75 years. Enoch walked with God over 300 years. If Enoch can do it, we can do it. If Enoch can walk with God, we can. Without wavering, without question, without doubting, we can walk with God. Enoch is a great example for us because Enoch walked with God for over 300 years, and what did God do? God took him. And he'll take us if we walk with God with the conviction that Enoch had. He will take us. We're assured of that. When Jesus comes back in judgment, we will have our heavenly home. We will have our reward because we walked with God without wavering as Enoch walked with God. There is an assurance there that no man can offer. Joshua chapter 24, verses 15 through 18. Joshua 24, verses 15 through 18. Turn over there. Joshua, earlier in this, just a few verses earlier, has made his great statement here. In verse 15, well, we're reading his statement as, and if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That great statement, probably many of us have that somewhere in our homes. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That's conviction. So the people answered and said, far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God is He who brought us brought us and our fathers up out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who did those great signs in our sight and preserved us in all the way that we went and among all the people through whom we passed. Verse 18, at the end of verse 18, we also will serve the Lord, for He is our God. Now there's conviction. That's conviction right there. We also will serve the Lord, for He is our God. Judges chapter 2, verse 7 through 12, as soon as the generation of Joshua died, the conviction died with it. They began to waver. Their conviction, their desire to serve God, wavered. And they turned quickly. So all the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua, and all the days of the elders who outlived Joshua. When all that generation, verse 10, when all that generation and their fathers had been gathered together, another generation arose after them who did not know the Lord, nor the work which He had done for Israel. The children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served the Baals, and they forsook the Lord God of their fathers who had brought them out of the land of Egypt. They forsook the Lord and served Baal and the Ashtoreths. Verse 13. You see, their conviction wavered so very quickly. The rest of the days of Joshua and the elders who lived after him, their conviction wavered so very, very quickly. Our conviction needs to be firm, and we need to stand firmly and strongly in the gospel of Jesus Christ. David is an example of conviction. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, David defeats Goliath. What did David do when Goliath was taunting the armies of Israel? He said, "I'll go fight." When David said, "I'll go fight," Saul tried to put his armor on him, and the armor didn't fit. It was ill-fitting. David was not the same size as Saul, so the armor didn't fit properly. It was heavy. It was bulky. David threw off the armor, went and picked 5 stones. And what did he do from there? He ran to the fight. He ran to the battle. That's conviction. David knew that God was with him. David knew that God would give Goliath into his hand. That's conviction. That's courage. Moses is an example of conviction. Moses chose conviction over convenience. He could have stayed living in the land of Egypt. He could have lived the life of a Pharaoh. But he forsook all of that for the hope and the assurance that was before him. We need to have that type of courage, that type of strength, that type of conviction. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. Let's go through these just as quickly as we can here. Romans 12 and verse 2. Paul writes and he says, "And do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Well, you know what? It's more convenient for me to be conformed. It's easier to be conformed than to be transformed. So I don't think I'm going to do this verse. I don't think I'm going to make the application. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25. The Hebrew writer encouraging us to participate and be at the worship service, but not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. Well, you know, it's more convenient for me to stay at home. You know, the game's not quite over. The match is not quite over. I really need to watch this. It's not very convenient for me to be at worship services this evening. But I'll catch you next time. I'll catch you next time. I'm just going to have to stay home tonight. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Well, you know what? It's not... You almost had me on that, but you know, it's just really not convenient for me to study. I really don't have a whole lot of time for a lot of Bible study because my job takes up so much of my time. And I bring home work every night with me, and I've got so much to do. I'm at work from 7 in the morning until 7 at night, and then I've got work to do at home. You know, it's just really not convenient for me to study the Bible. We've got elders, they'll do that. They'll let me know.
We've got a preacher. He's adequate. He'll take care of it. He'll tell me what I need to know. It's not convenient for me to study as I ought to. Matthew chapter 28 and verse 19. Matthew chapter 28 and verse 19. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Well, it's more convenient for me to really not say anything about the Bible. The topics you're not supposed to speak about, politics and religion. It's really more convenient not to say anything. There's someone else who will be able to say something. And it'll be more convenient for them because, it's the preacher's job. It's his job. Elders, that's their job to do that. Deacons, that's their job. And their wives will take care of the women things. Let them do it. It's not convenient for me to stand up and say anything. Ephesians 5 and verse 19. Ephesians 5 and verse 19. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Have you ever heard my speaking in regards to singing? Have you ever heard that? Have you ever heard the phrase, can't carry a tune in a bucket? And you want me to sing? No, it's more convenient. It'll be better if I don't sing, if I don't participate in the singing, because I'll just throw everybody off. No one will want to sit around me anyway. And I know it's make a joyful noise to the Lord. I get all of that, but it's just not convenient for me to sing. You know what would be more convenient for me though? Let's do some musical instruments. The musical instruments will then drown out my singing, and then I can sing. But I'll sing real soft. See how convenient it is? Let's see here. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 17. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 17. Pray without ceasing. I was close on that one. I was real close on praying without ceasing. But again, it's just not... It's hard for me to pray to because I've got to get at work. I've got to get up so early. I've got to be at work at 7. That means I've got to get up by 5:30 so that I can shower and clean up and put on some fresh clothes. And I've got to eat breakfast. And then I get in my vehicle and I get in my truck and I drive 2 hours to get to work. I have to be there by 9 and take 2 hours to get to work. And I'm working all day. And my boss says, you wouldn't believe the projects that I have to do right now. It's just outstanding the amount of work that I have to do right now. And then I have to come home. And then I get home. And then I have to deal with the wife. And the kids, they want time also. When am I going to pray? When am I going to... It's just not convenient for me to pray. Maybe someone else. Maybe... Would you pray for me, though? Would you pray for me? I would appreciate that. Because it's not convenient for me to pray. I've got too much in my physical life to do than to take time to talk to God. 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 1. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given orders to the churches of Galatia, so you must do also. On the first day of the week, let each of you lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper, that there be no collections when I come. I've got too many bills. I've got too much. It's not convenient for me to give. Here, I think. Let me see. I think I've got a dollar here. Where is it? It's not convenient for me to give. It's not convenient for me because I've got so many things going on in this. I've got my house bill. I've got two cars that I just bought. I've got to pay for those. I've got three kids going to school. I've got to save for their college. I've got to do this and I've got to do that. It's not convenient for me to give as the Lord has prospered me. I've got too much going on. Surely haven't you seen my debit sheet? It's not convenient for me. James chapter 1, verse 27.
elders and deacons and preachers, listen up to this one. This is all yours, by the way. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. Well, that's what we have elders and preachers for, deacons for. That's why we have all of them. They'll do the visiting. It's their job anyway. That's what they're supposed to do anyway. That's their job. And so I didn't. Did anybody read in here where it said elders and deacons and preachers? No, it's not there. But that's their job. We all know that's their job. They don't have anything to do anyway. They really don't, especially the preacher. He comes up here to the office where he works out of his home. He doesn't have anything to do anyway. He's home all day. It's his job. I don't have time. Remember I told you about my day? Get up at 5:30, got to work from 7 to 7. Kids come home. I need to spend time with the wife. Kids come home. You know, kids have 3 soccer games this weekend. Baseball starts next week. And I've got all these things. There was a band concert last night that I had to go to. Now, I don't have time. Well, I'm real sorry you're sick. I'm real sorry you're not feeling good. But if I prayed, I might remember you in my prayers, but I don't have time for prayer either. It's just not convenient. It's just not. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as much in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Well, you know what? It's not very convenient to do this type of work, because if I do this type of work, then I really have to stop and examine myself. And I already told you I don't have the time for that. It's not convenient. It's just not. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 22. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 22. Jesus said, "And you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but he who endures to the end will be saved." Well, I just don't know if it's convenient for me to endure. I just don't know if there's the time for me to endure. You know, you've given me these things from God's word, but you know, it's just not convenient for me. Just don't have the time. I've got so much to do. And so while I appreciate your care and your concern, I really have other things to do. Bye. No endurance. No staying power to the end. No desire to serve God for the measly amount of time that we're here on this earth. We're not here for over 300 years like he did. 365 years like he did. Some of us may reach to be 100 years old. And we can't endure to the end. We don't have the strength and the courage, the conviction to endure to the end. You see, convenience leads us down a path of sin, and it takes us further from God, leads us further away from God and from serving Him as we should. Conviction hears these very same passages and strives to do each and every one of them. Add these things daily. We can do it. I know we can. We make up our minds to do all kinds of things. We can do it. Someone makes up their mind to play golf. They're going to play golf. Now, they may never be a Phil Mickelson. But you know what? They'll be able to put the ball in the hole. We can make up our minds to do all kinds of things. Learn a new language. We can make up our minds to do it. Let's make up our minds and have the conviction to do the things of God, to serve Him as He would have us serve Him, to read and understand God's Word, making the application with the conviction each and every day to be transformed, to exhort one another, to be approved of God, to teach others, to sing. Don't be afraid to sing. Sing out. To pray daily. to give of our means, to visit the sick, those who need our visiting, to work as we ought to, and to endure till the end. Can we have the conviction to do that? I think we can. I firmly believe that we can. Do you have the necessary conviction? Jeroboam didn't have the conviction to be obedient to God's word. Do you have the conviction? Do you have the necessary conviction? Be steadfast and immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Strive for these things each and every day. Take time to pray. Take time to study. Take time to visit. Make the time. Give up some of the things of this earth. Give up some of the things of this life. Those things are temporary. These things point us towards our eternal home. As we strive for the things of God each and every day, what convenient thing is keeping you from serving God the way you ought to? Let it go. It's of no importance anyway. It's a convenience of this world. It's a convenience of the thoughts and the ideas of this world. Let it go, because it's going to be gone in the end. Let's make a decision today to serve God with conviction. To stand up and be counted. Have the faith of an Abel, of a Moses, of a David. Be willing to admit our mistakes. Making the corrections that are necessary. Obedient to God, as Saul was in baptism. Let's have the conviction and the courage of these great men and women that we read about in the Bible. We can do that. Let's do that starting this evening. If you need to be baptized into Jesus Christ, everything is ready. Won't you come forward? If you need to repent of something, won't you make your life right? If you need the prayers of the congregation, won't you make us aware? Won't you make us known so that we can make it nice so that we can pray for you and wait for you? Won't you come forward now?